Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome on over to another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. I am your host, Matt Tardio. We got a lot of stuff that came out this morning, and it looks like we are moving multiple steps closer to the inevitable, which is going to be the United States striking Iran, and that there is going to be zero peace in the future for Kyiv or Ukraine or Russia or the people in the East or pretty much anywhere in the world, including India and Pakistan. Actually, it looks like India and Pakistan are on the verge of a nuclear war. Believe it or not, all of that crap started to come out today. What's up? Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good to see you guys. I ended up taking a mental health break last night. I was like, you know what? Been dealing with a lot of crap lately. I'm going to go ahead and treat myself to a night off. So that's exactly what I did. Turned the world out and just said, I'm going to do me for the next 12 hours. So if you're offended by me not being on last night, I greatly apologize, but that's what I decided to do. So let's go ahead and start getting into it. How is everybody else doing over there? I see everybody running in. I see a lot of freaking Ukrainian flags flying in there. I see some bananas. So we got the original banana gang in the house today. We've got lots of people from the true supporting community in here. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't even know where to begin over the stuff that has started to unfold over the last 24 hours. We started off with yesterday statements that was coming out from Zelensky, where Zelensky was saying, absolutely not, I'm never going to end up giving up Kyiv. And I went over this pretty in depth yesterday morning and talking about what that would have meant for Ukraine, what that means for Russia. And the whole reason Zelensky ended up coming out with that, in my opinion, is because of what Putin had said. And I think that the mainstream media took that and twisted it because most of the mainstream media, to be perfectly honest, hates Donald Trump. And what it looked like, the way they ended up writing the headlines, and it was not until you get the meat and potatoes of the actual article itself, did it actually look like what it was talking about was nothing more than Zelensky countering what Vladimir Putin had said, which is basically he's going to hold on to all the current territory he occupies, minus a little bit over in Zaporizhia. Other than that, that's going to be him coming to the table for a peace deal. Then we had Marco Rubio that ended up coming out and saying, look, no, that was never on the table of Ukraine giving that up. We had a comprehensive deal that we had put forth, and it's time for both parties to come to the table and take a look at the deal that we had. And then just today, we had Trump come out. Actually, it was yesterday. Trump ended up coming out and saying, never, never, never was it on the table for Ukraine to recognize Russian control over Crimea. Yet I'm seeing a lot of major mainstream influencers that are coming out and trying to blame all this shit on Trump and Vance and everything else. And I say that because I also brought up historical context of what was happening over inside of Ukraine as well. As far back as the first Trump administration refusing to recognize that Russia was the lawful ruler over the Crimean Peninsula. And that came out from Mike Pompeo all the way back in 2018. And everybody's like, well, you know, Trump hates Pompeo now. Okay, well, Pompeo was still answering to Trump at the time, and he's still enacting, you know, the wishes of the Trump administration at the time being. So no, we didn't recognize Crimea then as Russian territory, and we don't now. And there's been nothing else that you can point to that would really substantiate that. Now, over here in the United States, before we get into the ballistic missile that ended up striking a freaking building over inside of Kyiv that got fired by Russia, I want to bring this to your guys' attention. This comes out of the United States of America. This is an SJP, or Students for Justice of Palestine, that ended up getting raided by the feds. Everybody go ahead and clap your hands that this is actually happening. The feds are going after SJP members here in the United States of America. The reason they're going after SJP is they're the ones that are organizing and leading a lot of the violent protests that are taking place over on college campuses. So this, ladies and gentlemen, is a good thing. Clearly, it's getting taken by an SJP member that thinks for some reason his rights were getting freaking ruined.
No search warrant was provided.
Get it.
Let them go.
Here's a fun fact. Cops don't have to show you the search warrant. They don't have to physically hold it up to the door and say, see this right here? go ahead. This makes it okay. Now that you studied the document and showed it to your attorneys, now I get to make lawful entry. That's not how it's written. That's not how it works. If they show up and they tell you they have a warrant to search your house, you're required to follow the lawful orders. That's why when they bang on the door, they scream police search warrant, because that's them telling you that they have one. So if you're a stupid college student that's listening to this, Students for Justice of Palestine, and you think it's not a good idea to open your door, you're an absolute idiot, and that's not how the law works. Matt Borgeson, they don't sound very enthusiastic. No, they're not. They're absolutely not, because unless they're in a crowd of a bunch of other ridiculous human beings, they're just a bunch of cowards. When they're in big crowds, right, they're going to be willing to go out and like yell and scream and act like they're freaking, you know, the big penis on campus, for lack of better terms. But without it, they've got nothing. Now, a U.S. airman over here in the United States, let's keep going with domestic terrorism. U.S. airman who had a top secret security clearance, all right, had been federally indicted for plotting to build bombs targeting Jewish institutions over in Pittsburgh. He actually identified himself as a Hamas operative. He declared his life's mission was to die as a martyr and pledge allegiance to the United States of America. And to Lebanon and Palestine is where his allegiance actually went. He ended up joining the U.S. military in order to acquire combat skills needed to wage wars against the Jews. Now, this is something that I think everybody needs to be perfectly aware of here in the United States of America when we're talking about homegrown violent extremism. It's a very real thing. All right, radicalization of terrorists online does exist. Now, we've talked about the MS-13 members in the past. We've talked about SJP, which I guess technically isn't a domestic terror organization. Technically isn't. Now I'm probably going to get sued by CARE or somebody else. But listen, at the end of the day, okay, these people do, in fact, join the military. And it's not just limited to these other, like, crazy but jihadists, but it also goes down to like different gang members, people from the cartel, MS-13, all of these knuckleheads actually do put people inside of the United States military in attempt. Oh, we got freaking ads cranked up, huh? Don't worry about that. I got you, bro. Now that I seen somebody mention that, I got you. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to back that down. I'm just going to throw that over to conservative. All right. So you guys shouldn't be getting like that many of them at all. Fox McCloud coming in with five. He says cops aren't allowed to arrest if you kiss them on the lip. That's a fact. You can look it up. You know, I did have a woman one time that was getting arrested for domestic violence who thought I was trying to hit on her because I took off my jacket and put it on her because it was really cold outside as she was in handcuffs. And that didn't turn out good for her. Don't ever do that. Don't take Fox McCloud's advice. That's going to get you in trouble. Sean Hughes, becoming a true supporter. Welcome to the freaking club, buddy. Matt Borgeson, the extremism currently going on in our own country and around the world makes me scared to go to crowded events. There's one Times Square, my second, and I'm afraid there's on one Times Square, my second, and I'm afraid to attend if something goes wrong. Yeah, you know, and I would tend not to believe you that, you know, all of these things were going on. But I'll tell you, I feel as if I am an honorary member of the Jewish community at this point. The other day, I ended up making a post. And when you go through the comments, it becomes very, very clear how rampant the problem is here in the United States of America. I had made a very simple post. It wasn't anything crazy. It was a very, very simple fact-based statement. And I think it ended up pissing a lot of people off. As a matter of fact, I know it did. Let me grab that sucker and put it up on the screen, because I want to show you guys when he says that is I want to show you the comments that ended up coming along with it, because this is in fact, all right, this is in fact the ridiculousness here in the United States of America. Now, obviously, because of the reporting that I do on the war, I have a lot of people. No, I don't want to promote this post. You freaking stop it. Stop it. I don't want to promote the post. I just want to show people. This is all I wrote. Israel has a right to exist and to defend itself. I'm a Zionist. There's a reason Jews continue to be the number one targeted group by hate crimes in the United States, according to the FBI. That's a fact. In 2023, they were and continue to be the number one most targeted group for hate crimes here in the United States of America. Estimated 2 billion Muslims on the planet and only 15 million Jews. Please define genocide. Now, I took that, and as you go through the comments, you will see people that obviously are going to come in and start being these little bit of agitators. People 100% come into this comment section. Go read them. We saved you guys from the Romans. You can try and rewrite the future, but history has already been written. There is just tons of shit that is thrown in here. All right. It blows my freaking mind. Name checks out. I don't even know what this one is, but you can tell with the little death skull on it. I have no idea. Here we go. Shabazz Goy says what? These things are openly thrown out there into society because people feel like it's okay. Like, for some reason, it's okay to be anti-Semitic in the United States of America, but you definitely can't say the N-word. Oh, Pentum Thorn, 10th group. What up, dude? Third group in the house. All right, there we go. Yeah, thank you. Go do violent things to bad people. I need you to go do bad things to bad people. That's what needs to happen right now. Not enough of it's going around the freaking world, and hopefully the president starts cutting you guys loose to go do bad things to bad people. I know that's kind of like your little unofficial motto over there, you bunch of freaking nut jobs, and I love you guys for it. So go, please take care of that, knock that out. Now, that service member ended up getting charged doing it. J.D. Vance ended up coming out and making this statement. I can go over the other one that Trump ended up making yesterday, but it doesn't really matter. Actually, here it is. When he says Ukraine was not legally recognizing the occupation of Ukraine will not legally recognize the occupation of Crimea, there's nothing to talk about here. Trump ends up coming out and saying this statement is very harmful. I'm not sitting here trying to freaking grift for Trump by any means. I'm just trying to tell you, I think Trump got up, saw this crap, and just rolled out of bed and just started angry tweeting. You know what I'm saying? I'm pretty sure that's my opinion. Zelensky, in my opinion, after reading everything, very clearly was answering back to Vladimir Putin, who requested that he accept that Crimea was freaking Russian territory. Obviously, he's not going to do it. And then Trump goes off and starts firing off other statements about how this is harmful and everything else. J.D. Vance, I didn't even bother reading his statement or what he ended up putting out on it, but I figured it would be worth kind of like showing you guys like all of that crap up there. Now we're going to go up over into here, and I'm going to show you guys what actually took place over inside of Kyiv. What you're looking at is a ballistic missile attack that ended up striking downtown Kyiv. So, here we go. Sean Hughes. Matt, that is a negative. I have been a true supporter for 18 months. I don't know why it says I just joined. Yeah, Sean Hughes, I thought so too. So I don't know why that came out that way. I don't know. But maybe it unsigned you and then re-signed you. Or maybe you re-upped today. Maybe that was it. Maybe today was your re-up day. So it just dropped you and then re-upped you. No idea. All right. So what you're looking at over here is this ballistic missile strike downtown Kyiv. And all of this is coming out yesterday, following yesterday's like failed negotiations, for lack of better terms. Yesterday, we had massive failed negotiations between the two freaking countries. Coming up on your screen here, you can take a look at some of the pictures that are coming out of downtown Kyiv. Numbers that are coming out of there are pretty grim, to be perfectly honest with you. I'm surprised they weren't a hell of a lot higher. Jude Chase says, hello from the largest Air Force base in the free world. Oh, shit, man. We got U.S. Air Force in the house checking it out. You guys, I'm going to get that news that you guys are looking for here in just a second, which is going to be the Middle East, because that stuff's actually getting kind of scary. And that's seriously about to roll up here in just a second. So here's pictures of the firefighting and everything else following that ballistic missile attack. Trump immediately came out today and condemned Putin and literally like made a tweet that was like, Putin, just stop. I think that was actually his exact statement was, Putin, stop. Telling Putin to stop with the airstrike. I was like, dude, you can't be serious. That can't be the official statement of the United States government, just telling Putin to just stop. Look, I'm not happy with the Russian strikes on Kyiv. Not necessary and very bad timing. Vladimir Putin, stop. 5,000 soldiers a week are dying. Let's get the peace deal done. This is my issue that I have with Trump, and it goes to understanding Eastern Bloc countries and the old Soviet mentality that Putin is behind. I don't believe it's either that or he's putting on a facade that's making it appear like he thinks that this is still happening. Meanwhile, that $84 billion that he freed up is on the way over to Ukraine in the forms of support and equipment, though I haven't seen any real signs of that much stuff actually being on the way over there. So somebody says they missed the stream yesterday. Stream yesterday was that these peace deals were scheduled to move forward, that they ended up getting canceled. Marco Rubio is on his way over to the UK, and he ends up canceling over to the UK due to some other stuff. And all of that had to do because Vladimir Putin came out and he said that he was willing to negotiate for peace and essentially put the onus on Ukraine. And then yesterday he ended up releasing a statement that said his portion of the deal is basically he is going to retain control of all of the current occupied areas of Ukraine to include Crimea minus like the ZNPP and a couple other places. All right, the new, I think the nuclear power plant was like one of the ones that's going to be off the grid. Chrisser says he's upset with the I-24 news interview because they failed to do a pants check. Yeah, that's not really a thing that I-24 is known for when it goes down, is doing the pants checks. But here is your footage of that strike that took place over inside of Kiev. I'm still getting reports of like numerous injuries and dead that have came out of that thing. I've seen upwards of like 40-ish plus. But either way, this is what Trump was condemning over there. I heard that multiple children have died, on and on and on, but I'm sure some official numbers will come out in a little bit. There's no point in putting them out right now because I don't think anybody has the honest answer. Fox McCloud says, the world needs bad men. Keep the other bad men from the door. True, detective. No, it's a fact. And I just got done in another space because we were talking about how to rid the world of radical Islam. This is what we were going over. How do you get rid of radical Islam? Well, you have to kill the idea. You have to kill the person that the idea lives inside in order to get rid of it. In order to change the mind of that individual, you have to essentially make them think that what they believe is not true. And you have to convince them to turn their back on God. Conducting jihad in their mind and refusing to conduct jihad would be turning their back on God and what God has commanded them to do. Well, if you convince them to do that, then you essentially command them to hell. Sadly. So the only option that you really have left at the end of that is to kill them. That's it. You have to go forward and you have to kill these bad people. I really don't know how else to say that. What the F? How the hell did I put that in my stack for the day? Ex-soldier raids animal shelter with AR in full tactical gear to get his cat back. Well, good on him, man. I don't know. Domestic terrorist? I don't know. I'm not. I don't even know how the hell that ended up getting the stack today. That definitely doesn't belong in there. Now, over inside of Israel today, we're going to jump over to the Middle East. Over inside of Israel today, General Kurilla arrived on the ground, and the security cabinet, the war cabinet for Israel is scheduled to meet at 7 p.m. local time tonight over inside of Israel. That's a big deal with General Kurilla on the ground because of the other news that ended up coming out of there. Three brand new F-35s also got delivered to Israel today as well. Gotta love the freaking F-35 stealth fighter, okay? So we got more of those that ended up getting delivered over in Israel, bringing the total amount of things that got delivered to the Middle East so far as a metric F-ton. There's more pictures of U.S. CENTCOM doing its thing on the strike carrier groups over in the Red Sea, getting ready to go bomb the crap out of the Houthis. Yeah, baby. Over here at the end of this, that over inside of Australia, like present day Australia, as I'm streaming live, would be the Soldiers Remembrance Day. I'm trying to remember what the hell it's called, but they normally have some pretty baller stuff coming out of there. I'll have to go look that up as well. Now, the big news again with Kurilla arriving, here's his freaking aircraft going over and arriving. General Kurilla, U.S. CENTCOM commander, going over there. Because most of the time when the CENTCOM commander goes over and he's visited Israel in the past, we end up getting a lot of new information or a lot of new things that are about to start happening. As Anzac Day, is that today, right? Anzac Day? Right. So a lot of like new information, attacks, plans, things like that are going to get done while Kurilla's there. And with the war cabinet assembling tonight, bro said, you ain't grabbing my... that comment, dude. Oh, man. That's exactly what he said. All right. So with Kurilla going up over into the Middle East, that brings forward like, a brand new question of what is about to come. Now, Iran and Russia just the other day ended up reaffirming their strategic partnership. Part of that strategic partnership was Iran's ability to peacefully develop nuclear materials for the purpose of energy. So developing a peaceful nuclear energy program for Iran was most certainly a part of it. We also got word coming out of Iran today that they are not going to give up their uranium enrichment. So earlier today, Iran ends up coming out and saying they're not giving up your uranium enrichment. Did you hear me? 2 days ago, Russia and Iran, through their partnership, signed wet, it's probably still wet, stating that Iran has a right to develop nuclear energy in country, and the Iranian government today ends up coming out and saying that they will not be giving up their ability to produce uranium. Well, the United States doesn't really like that at all. I mean, at all. As a matter of fact, Marco Rubio's got a little bit of a different frickin' plan for them. Marco Rubio says, let me grab this real quick. This is what Marco Rubio says. This just came out today as well. Or I'm sorry, this came out yesterday. Rubio says Iran must give up nuclear enrichment in any deal with the United States of America. He goes so far as to say right here, if Iran wants a civil nuclear weapons program, if Iran wants a civil nuclear program, they can have one just like many other countries have one. And that is, they import enrichment material. That is allegedly what the United States, okay, and this is random stuff that I've heard, okay, allegedly what the United States may or may not have been working out with Russia. Because if we wanted some sort of a peace deal with Iran to where we don't have to go in and bomb them, the only people that the Iranians are really going to allow this to happen by, with, and through would be Russia. And now that everything's failing with Russia and we see the United States come out with this stance very, very openly, that they are not going to be allowed to enrich uranium, that they're going to have to import it from other countries if they want to fund a freaking nuclear energy program, they have to import it. Iran says, no, we are going to continue to enrich our own uranium. Well, what's that mean? Read the writing on the wall. Matt Borgeson, does a nuclear weapon for Iran put them in the world power stage? Is that what we are preventing, or do we think they just straight up nuke Israel? Awesome question. Having a nuclear weapon is one thing. Having the ability to deliver that nuclear weapon is a completely different freaking ballgame. And right now, if you were to take all of the open source material that's out there, I don't have my own intelligence fusion cell. I don't have access to all of those things. I have access to a lot, though. And what I did was I took all of the open source information about Iran's nuclear weapons program and the reports from the IAEA, and I ended up dumping it in over into ChatGPT, into the advanced ChatGPT. And I said, I want you to evaluate based on this knowledge and this knowledge alone, nothing open source other than these documents. Will you please evaluate and tell me the actual percentage chance whether or not Iran's got a nuclear weapon? It turned around and it spat out a 50-50 probability of whether or not Iran currently to this day has developed a nuclear weapon. That's a very scary thought. A 50-50 probability is what ChatGPT, and you can call it what it is. You know, I gave it the instructions, ignore everything else that's out there floating around the internet, just according to the reports that came in from the IAEA, whether or not Iran has developed a nuclear weapon or could potentially possess a nuclear weapon, ends up spitting out a 50% probability. Amit Yannick ends up coming in, becoming a true supporter. Good to have you in the house. So with a 50-50 probability of Iran having already developed a nuclear weapon, the question is whether or not they have the actual capability to deliver it. Now, prior to all these negotiations actually starting to take place, it was rumored that I believe it was the foreign minister of the Ayatollah had gone over to Russia and was seeking out basically approval to get nuclear weapons components from Russia. No word on whether or not that's actually true. No, the statements from Russia was like, that didn't happen. And even if they did, we wouldn't give them to them. So the question is whether or not Iran's got the ability to deliver it. Well, there was intelligence reports that ended up coming out years ago that said China via North Korea ended up giving nuclear weapons delivery capabilities up over to Iran. So essentially North Korea delivered these types of ballistic missiles that were nuclear capable to Iran. Now, there is a balance issue that ends up going into that when you really start thinking about the flight. And then there's also stability of the munitions. It's one thing to have enough enriched uranium. It's another thing to develop it into a nuclear weapon. And then it's a completely different thing when we actually talk about the capabilities of delivering said nuclear weapon systems, right? Now, if Iran has enough enriched uranium for a nuclear weapon and they have the technology in order to develop a nuclear weapon, then the last step, and probably a step that they worked on a long time ago, was the capability of delivering said nuclear weapon. So if that's the case, and they already have all of those things complete, then does the United States really have a freaking option when it goes to dealing with Iran? And I say that because Iran was a signatory to the NPT, still is to this day. And according to the IAEA, In their last report, they won't come out and say they're in noncompliance. It's not up to the IAEA to determine noncompliance, but it is up to the IAEA to document it. And what the IAEA said at the end of February was that there was two uranium enrichment sites that they believe to have been active that the Iranian government did not disclose. And that would put them in direct noncompliance with the IAEA and with the NPT. So there is not a snowball's chance in hell that we can actually trust Iran while they're screaming death to America and death to Israel. And with Israel on the verge of invading Gaza, not that they haven't already gone into Gaza, but they're staged for a major assault. Hamas is trying to recruit 30,000 fighters right now. You've got mass CAS incidences that are taking place over inside of the Gaza Strip. And Israel's not going to be wanting to sit on it that long. They're not. Is the longer Israel sits in a position like that, the longer it takes, the better it is for Hamas, because they're going to be able to recruit more fighters. They're going to be able to set up more booby traps. They're going to be able to set everything up. Yesterday, Donald Trump came out and he made a statement about Israel. Let me see if I can find it for you guys real quick, because this is actually one of the more important ones. This came out, I believe, yesterday afternoon. I feel like I had it. Maybe I showed you guys. Maybe I didn't. But Trump came out yesterday and he stated that he was in complete agreement with Netanyahu. He ended up tweeting it out. Trump just tweets out foreign policy like it's nobody's business, or he truths it out and then it gets retweeted on his official freaking account, right? So he ends up saying that they're in complete agreement when it comes to Iran and what needs to happen to Iran. Well, we know Bibi's stance on Iran, which is they can't have a nuclear program inside of their country. They can't be enriching uranium. And Bibi already came out. All right. The freaking Israeli government already came out and said that, you know, the United States had essentially slowed them down. And Trump actually confirmed it, that Bibi wanted to bomb the shit out of Iran. And Trump wants to try diplomacy before we do that. Well, if we're in complete agreement with Israel, and if Iran is saying they're going to continue to enrich uranium, whether we like it or not, and Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State, is saying Iran is not allowed to enrich uranium, then it's over. We've got one peace talk to go, and I think it's over. We're going to give them another shot. That shot fails. All said and done. We're continuing to move weapons and equipment into the frickin' area. We're continuing to deliver fire jets to Israel. We're continuing to bomb the crap out of the Houthis. I also brought this up yesterday, and I got asked over on I-24. I told you guys yesterday I had to leave for a news interview with I-24. And they asked me a question. They asked me whether or not I think that the bombing of Yemen, the United States campaign against the Houthis in Yemen, has actually gotten through to Iran. And I answered back, no. And the reason I bring that up is because if you look at the downed Shahid drones, all right, over inside of Iran, excuse me, not Shahid drones, and not Iran, over inside Yemen, excuse me, my ADHD brain just started snapping to something else. What the hell are those things called? Let me get this up. The Predator drones over inside of Yemen. If you look at the downed Predator drones over inside of Yemen, there's lots of reports coming out on how many freaking Preds that we lost and everything else. Here's an older video of one of the Preds that's actually down, and I'm going to mute it because it doesn't matter, with a bunch of different Houthi fighters standing on it. Now you look at this downed Predator drone, and what you're going to notice is pretty much zero damage other than this busted portion of the freaking main body right here. Everything else is totally intact. And what you're not going to see is you're not going to see holes in it. You're not going to see anything else in this Pred. You're going to see some busted chunks of this Pred from striking the ground. And that's really it. Other than that, it's completely and totally intact. Now, there's only one country that I know of that's actually successfully taken over a U.S. freaking spy drone and landed the damn thing. And that's Iran. And that was all the way back in 2011. So here we are, 14 years later. Iran, we know, is backing the Houthis. Iran says they've got nothing to do with them. And yet we've got our freaking Predator drones that are miraculously falling out of the sky and landing, not even in a flat spin, not in a freaking nosedive, but in a manner in which that they can successfully be recovered like this. And we're being asked whether or not the U.S. impact on the Houthis is being felt and being heard up over in Iran. When I see videos like this, this one's actually from last year. It got put out the other day, like literally a couple days ago. They tried to repurpose the video and claim that they shot down another Pred. It's an old video. But when you see videos like this that are coming out, this isn't the only one. There's lots of these suckers. This is just the most recent one that they repurpose. So when you see videos like this, you got to ask whether or not Iran has, in fact, got it through their thick skull that we are going to come after them. And the answer, in Matt's opinion, is absolutely not. We've made zero impact. And when Russia and Iran signed that freaking pact the other day, or reaffirmed that freaking pact the other day, and they came out and they said that Iran's allowed to have a peaceful nuclear energy program, and they're talking about enrichment, and Rubio says, no, you're not allowed to enrich, and Trump says that Israel and the United States of America are in agreement on this, the only logical conclusion that you can draw with the mass amount of equipments that we've moved into the Middle East is that Iran's about to get the living hell bombed out of it. Additionally, yesterday, we ended up seeing reports up coming out of Syria that U.S. troops were pulling out of Syria and that they're moving their way back over into Iraq. A discussion that I was having just, I don't know, less than an hour ago. We're talking about foreign policy and how you're going to end up dealing with this. And the answer is, like, if you're going to be dealing with these radical Islamic terrorist regimes such as Iran and the IRGC and the Ayatollah, you've got to drain the swamp and then go after the fighters. And the swamp in this case that we're talking about draining, and the analogy was the little, like, jihad fighters or the freaking mosquitoes that are flying all over the place. And you just can't go around swat mosquitoes hoping to solve the problem. You got to drain the swamp that's producing the mosquitoes. Iran is the swamp that's producing the mosquitoes. They're the swamp that's producing Hezbollah. They're the swamp that's producing the PIJ. They're the swamp that produced Hamas. They're the swamp that's producing all of these freaking radical Islamic terror organizations. So you can't just swat the flies. You got to drain the swamp that freaking makes the flies. And Iran is the swamp. And that sucker is about to get drained. Now, the scary part of this goes all the way back to what we were talking about with Russia and Ukraine. What we're seeing is a deterioration in the peace talks between those two different countries. Vladimir Putin clearly stated the reason he would come to the table, which is going to be keeping all of that occupied terrain. And Zelensky flat out said, it's against our constitution. We can't do that. So those peace talks, in Matt's opinion, are done. They are never going to come to agreement. And that was the issue I had with Trump when it came down to understanding Ukraine. If he doesn't understand that the people of Ukraine are not going to give that up, then there can be no peace. And if he doesn't understand that Russia has already signed a bunch of that territory in under Russian law as sovereign Russian territory, then there's not going to be any damn peace. Do I think that, like, Putin with a freaking swing of a freaking pen and a smash of a stamp can change that? Absolutely. Is he going to? No. Matt Borderson, also, do you think Russia is directly responsible for the quick assembly or nuclear weapons in Iran? Would we know if Russia sent nukes to Iran via intelligence, or can they cover something like that up? Yes, they absolutely can cover some stuff like that up. We do have a pretty vast intelligence network, if you haven't been able to tell, by the hundreds of freaking thousands of tons of munitions that have been destroyed inside of Russia over the last freaking 30 days. Two separate strikes ended up taking out massive stockpiles of Russian munitions. They're not very happy about it. That's likely what the strike on Kiev was about. Do I think like Russia's got the ability to pull them in there? Absolutely. Who did we see? Did we see Shoigu over inside of Iran last year? We saw like Russian foreign minister. We saw him go pay a visit over to Afghanistan as well. What I'm trying to tell you is that on these different diplomatic flights, they will put shit like that on those flights. All right. And they will hide it from the general public. They will make little different types of moves like that. So is it possible that they could do things like that? Yes. Do I think Russia wants a nuclear armed Iran? I don't think they do. But I also wouldn't put it past them, because right now Putin's like whole mission inside of Ukraine's at stake. But it's not just like Ukraine. It's literally the future development of his country. Like, his whole economy is going to end up weighing on this. Him staying in power is going to end up weighing on what takes place over inside of freaking Ukraine, because he's had over 750,000 estimated low end freaking deaths and casualties in the freaking war. That's a hell of a lot of Russians that he's got to answer to, right? And he's on the verge right now of being financially bankrupt. Yesterday, Russia ended up announcing as well, I freaking lost it. Let me pull this up, because a lot of people don't freaking believe me when I brought this up. This is going to blow your guys' mind. I know I've brought this up to you guys. I've told you how much, all right, ends up mattering. Let me grab this right here. And this is just from the oil prices over inside of Russia. This stuff matters because in order to fight a war, you got to be able to fund the suckers. Zelensky's finding that out really freaking quick. And he's continuing to find it out. Russia ended up, this news ended up coming out from Russia yesterday. All right. Russia reduces oil and gas export revenue forecast by 15% for 2025 through 2027. Why? Because of the decline in oil prices by barrel. That's it. Just because of the oil price by barrel, all of a sudden Russia's forecasting a 15% decrease. Now, 30% of Russia's expendable budget comes from the oil and gas industry. 30%. That is a huge freaking hit to Russia's expendable budget. When you look at the tariffs that freaking Donald Trump threw on China, that's going to cause an increase in the inflation and cost of goods for Russia to buy them. Because that's where Russia is getting a lot of its material from in order to fight this war. And so when we go after the freaking dollar over in Russia, excuse me, the ruble, when we go after the ruble, we go after the oil industry and it takes a hit, all of a sudden, Putin's going to get really freaking scary. Now we can take that and we can go back over, all right? And we can bring up the freaking map again. And we can bring up this map and we can, again, take this a step further. Now, the EU estimated, I put these numbers out the other week, EU estimated lost right around $164 billion in trade thanks to the Houthis closing off the flipping Red Sea. $164 billion estimated in trade last year alone from the EU. Prior to October 7th, 50% of the oil flowing through the Suez Canal belonged to Russia. It accounts for 30% of their freaking expendable budget. Not only did the price of oil just go down, causing that 15% reduction, but now the Suez Canal is in danger of being reopened. And Russia has been having a great freaking time with the pleasure of being able to push all of their oil and gas expenditures through the Suez Canal and offloading it over in Asia. And that's currently being threatened. Not to mention, we're about to bomb the shit out of Iran, who supplies over a third of the freaking aerial munitions that are being fired up over into Ukraine. And if you don't think the United States is going to bomb the shit out of the factories that produce those Shahed drones, you've lost your mind, because they absolutely will. Yes, we're going to go after their freaking nuclear capabilities. Absolutely. Their enrichment sites, all of that crap, their ballistic missile sites, everything. Bombing campaign, we're putting out, we believe it's going to last about a week worth of relentless bombing on Iran. And we've certainly moved more than enough munitions over there. And the word of a third strike carrier group, the word of a third strike carrier group on the way to the Middle East has been rumored. You do not move that many assets into the region unless you intend on using them. And boy, do we intend on it. And the fact that over inside of Syria, we now have videos of U.S. troops that are pulling out and going back over into Iraq kind of starting to make sense. We're talking about draining the swamp, and we're talking about swatting the mosquitoes. Draining the swamp and swatting the mosquitoes. And these mosquitoes are about to get freaking swatted as soon as this freaking swamp is drained. It's going to happen. And it's just a matter of time at this point, because Iran is not backing off from their nuclear freaking enrichment capability or their uranium enrichment capability. And the United States is not going to allow them to do it. And Israel doesn't want them to have it either. I told you the other day, 7 to 10 days, strike imminent, it's going to happen. And all of the cards are lining up. And the big linchpin, in my opinion, all right, the big linchpin, in my opinion, is these peace talks, both over inside of Ukraine and the peace talks that are taking place between the United States and Iran. Iran's already freaking eroded. Freaking Ukraine and Russia eroded yesterday. Today, we get the word that the peace talks between these two have eroded, and we got Kirilla that just arrived over in Israel. You tell me what you think is going to happen. I believe deep down in my soul that this is going down. I'm going to go through some of these comments, and then we're going to keep going. I know I got a lot to keep up on here. Desiree, appreciate you for your donation. Old Man Weiss. So in the end, we are going to have boots on the ground. I don't think show of force is going to stop them or negotiating. No, I don't think Old Man Weiss said we're going to end up having boots on the ground over inside of Iran. There's no point in putting boots on the ground inside of Iran. We can accomplish everything that we need to do from the air inside of Iran. Boots on the ground for swatting the flies in the Middle East? Absolutely. destroying Iranians like uranium production infrastructure, along with, in my opinion, their military industrial complex. Because you got to remember, taking out those Shahed drone sites doesn't just benefit the war in Ukraine. It also benefits their ability to launch war against Israel. And so we can do it simply underneath that guise. And if you don't think Israel wants those dang things taken out as well, you're damn wrong. They ended up firing hundreds of those pieces of crap over Israel last year. And therefore, they're a valid threat. And I think Israel is going to want them taken out. I think the United States is going to want them taken out as well. Fox McCloud, you will know them by their fruits. Dude, that is 100%. 100%. And Iran's fruits are scattered across the Middle East, and they're going to end up freaking going after them. I thoroughly believe that. Matt Borderson, so if we attack Iran and Russia intervenes, can you see the fourth draft in U.S. history? I don't see Russia intervening. Russia and Iran do not have a security agreement. Russia and Iran have an economic agreement and a military, or like military industrial complex agreement, so to speak. Right? It's not a security agreement. Russia and North Korea have a security agreement to where an attack on one turns into an attack on the other, and they'll back each other up in that sense. But when it goes down to Iran, they do not have that type of security agreement. So I highly doubt Russia is going to intervene if we end up going in there and bombing the crap out of them. I don't think Russia wants to fully admit what's taking place inside of the Middle East and the amount of freaking crap that they've had their fingers in over there either. I don't think they want to get exposed to that, because if they do get exposed to that, they're going to piss off even more people. So no, I don't see it happening. But hypothetically speaking, if that did happen, do I think we'd end up having a draft? No. I think we'd end up taking care of it from where it's at. But I'll tell you what I do think would end up happening is our freaking industrial complex here in the United States would get freaking revamped. I think a bunch of factories would get taken over, and we'd start ramping up our stockpile of weapons for an eventual war with Russia. That's what I believe. I think the Russians are way too heavily engaged over inside of Ukraine to even contemplate waging a war against the United States of America right now. They are currently trying to get, what, 130,000 new soldiers, conscripts, to come into the Russian army. Good luck if they can find that many men still in existence to make that happen. Michael Snells coming in says, America, F yeah. Hell yeah, Michael Snells. Appreciate you guys. I want to also appreciate everybody that came in donating freaking Speak the Truth memberships. If you guys just got a brand new Speak the Truth membership today, you guys do now have access over to the Discord. I'll make sure I get a new link posted up over for you guys today. I'm about to go into the Discord and take some questions and have a good discussion. All right. These are all your latest developments that are coming out of the Middle East. There's a couple smaller things that have happened here or there, but those are the major ones that have been coming out, and they are the important ones that we need to discuss. We can go over, you know, like freaking humanitarian problems, whatever. It doesn't matter. This stuff, what's about to go on, this is the big deal that I think most people should be talking about that aren't. And I don't want you guys to get caught off guard when it, in fact, ends up happening. I'm happy to see Banshee. I'm happy to see BB in here already the moment I end up opening up the Discord. If you guys haven't yet, get over there to the Discord. You're welcome to come in and ask questions. I'm going to make sure I drop a new link up over in the post on the YouTube channel for our Discord for everybody that freaking wants one, in case you just got gifted out a new Speak the Truth membership today. Somebody's asking about, it already looks like, India and Pakistan. I think I saw the question jump in there not that long ago. Texas, how's it going, brother? As I pull up this new link for the Discord for everybody.
How's it going? Good morning. How are you?
Morning, afternoon. You sound tired.
Long night, long day. But yeah, pretty good assessment today of what's going on. It's very strange, but something is definitely cooking. And rumors that a third, I've also heard the rumors that a third strike carrier group is moving towards the Middle East. And that's a lot.
That's a lot. That's a lot of firepower to have a third strike carrier group going over there. That's a lot. What do you think when we look at Ukraine and Russia and where that currently is sitting at, what do we think that is going to mount from that? I would be surprised if Russia or Ukraine actually come to the table again in any sort of a peace talk or peace deal. I don't think that's going to happen.
Did you see this morning Trump's post this morning?
What was his angry tweet this morning?
he just like was like saying, Vlad, I don't like this strike on Kyiv.
Oh, yeah.
Vladimir, stop. Well, just 1 second. I have a call. One second.
I had it right over here. Give me just a sec. I'll put it up on the screen for everybody.
There you go. Maybe grab Nate up here.
Oh, yeah. I pulled Nate up. Yeah, I'll put Trump's angry tweet on the screen for everybody at home so they can see exactly what you're talking about. Where'd it go? There's Trump's angry tweet or truth or whatever you want to. I think he truths it and then retweets it. However the hell you want to say it, it's just Trump doing Trump things. You know what I mean? Oh, Nate's in. Good. I want to hear from Mr. Nate Vance today. Nate and I have agreed to do, as soon as he gets settled in, I get settled in, we're going to have Nate actually on the show maybe about once a week. And then Nate and I are actually talking about setting up a different channel for like geopolitical discussions. That way we can have like two rational freaking people actually know what the hell they're talking about up on the stage going over it. And him and I don't agree on every subject, so it'll be nice and able to keep things a little bit more balanced than just hearing me. Nate, did you come up in the house yet? If not, I can dial you in, brother. If you need me to dial you in, I'll dial you in. All right. So, all right. Let me get this link up over inside of the channel. You're good. You say Nate's coming in?
Nate raised his hand. I brought him and Judd up. They should be here. There he is.
Okay.
All good. Right. I got you. I'm in there. Yeah. So I got about 10 minutes and then I got to have a fucking meeting. By the way, my buddy's listening from Pokrovsk right now, which is pretty funny.
Beautiful.
Yeah, fucking Sean the Bean, Sean Gary. Well, I'm not gonna say his last name. Never mind. But yeah, no. The interesting thing about Ukraine, and I've been kind of mentioning this, that the U.S. potentially kind of relying on, or the hope that the U.S. could rely on Russia for Iranian inspections. So it's interesting to me that the Ukraine talks fell apart on the heels of the reconfirmation of the Iranian-Russian security pact, where Russia basically said you have the right to do that. It was like the next day,
you
essentially.
Enrich uranium, and then Putin comes out and says, you know what, go F yourself.
Yeah, so that's basically, you know, Russia's public way of telling the U.S. to go fuck off. And then I think this last kind of offer to Ukraine, like, hey, give up Crimea and like five other oblasts, and then you can have peace. I don't think there was any intent from the U.S. that was ever going to be signed. I think that was kind of a show thing where it was Trump's way to get out of the peace talks, essentially.
Well,
Trump, so he could come back and be like, they said, no, I'm done. I'm tired of it. Now we're out of the peace talks.
Yeah. Trump never agreed to give up Crimea. He put that out yesterday. That was never a portion of it. Trump.
Yeah,
never...
no, I'd be, yeah. But like I think the most recent offer though was just like, it was basically something that they knew the Ukrainians wouldn't take, and it was basically an excuse to get out of the peace talks.
Yeah.
So they can say, okay, we made an offer that no one could accept, and then they said that everybody said no, so we're tired of it and we're out now because the Russia inspection thing is a non-starter. So.
Correct. Yeah. The moment Russia decided that they're no longer going to be dealing with this, and that they're going to be backing Iranian uranium enrichment. Holy shit, that's a tongue twister.
Yeah, Iranian nuke stuff. Fuck it. You know
Iranian
what I mean? It's easier
stuff.
To say that.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, I mean, the moment that, you know, Russia agreed to back them on that, I think all of it was over.
Yep,
the moment they did that, all of it's over. And I think now it's just kind of letting the dust settle before the strike's on a run. And I think if we're moving another strike carrier group into the Middle East, it's very telling of what's going down. My question is how's Putin going to react? Because I think he's going to get very bold in his decisions on the front line, because those impacts I talked about on the Russian economy and therefore their ability to actually fund the war inside of Ukraine, I think Putin's going to step up his stupidity.
I think so too. This is my thought, but I think that what he's going to see, if we do start hammering Iran, he's going to see his timeline for being able to get anything done shrink significantly, because he's running out of money, he's running out of people. So if you don't have very much time, you start getting desperate, you start doing things like the Germans did in the Battle of the Bulge, right? Like it was a desperate attempt and it failed. But
desperate
in the meantime,
attempt failed. Do you think Putin's gonna break out WMDs?
Whew. I hope not.
That wasn't the question. If you hope, do you think Putin has the balls to break out WMDs, yay or nay?
I don't think so on any kind of large scale. You might see like isolated chemical type things, like, you know, but if he starts doing anything that can, with radioactivity that can drift into Western Europe, he doesn't want that smoke, man. If you gave me a Ranger battalion and a few F-35s, I could wade through the Russian army right now in its current state like a hot knife through butter.
Okay. Yeah. Well, what if he doesn't use nukes? What if he uses, I don't know, say chemical weapons in the form of blister agents?
Well, certainly he could. But I think if he does it on any type of large scale, I think it would get too much publicity. And you know what I mean? Like if he was doing that on a massive scale or hit a city with one on an accident, because his military is so undisciplined, it's like really dangerous to have those people, you know, to just kind of turn those loose.
Once he gives them the go-ahead on the front line, there's no telling what they're going to do with it.
Yeah, one of them will land in Kyiv, and if that happens, Western Europe, I think, it'd be too hard for them to turn a blind eye to that. And you'd start seeing Western European fighter jets over Ukraine,
eye. You can't ignore it, and you can't pretend like it didn't happen at that point.
That's what I mean. And at that moment, you'd start to see Rafales and Western European fighter jets flying over Ukraine. And the moment that happens, it's over for Putin. That's a wrap. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's funny to me how I remember back in the early days of the war, how we ended up having like a Russian cruise missile. There's actually two of them that ended up impacting over in Poland. One of them, I think, killed like two farmers or something. And all of that just kind of got written off and swept under the rug. I don't even remember what the official word on that was, but
I do. It was less, I think in those instances, one of them was actually like a
S-300.
Yeah. It was an S-300 that landed
chasing
over there.
It was a missile. Yeah.
And then the other one, I think the missile got hit cause it got targeted with like one of the fragmentation type air defense missiles.
AAA. Yeah,
and then it screwed up the guidance system on it, and it just kind of fell in there. They didn't target Poland, but still, if you're not flying them around, you don't have accidents, right? So Russia's fault.
I tell you what, somebody just asked me in the comment section on YouTube if I think Iran is really going to get hit. Obviously, I think Iran is going to get the living shit bombed out of it for about the course of a week, followed by other countries over in the Middle East, like the little jihadist groups over in Syria. I think Syria is going to get pounded. Following Iran getting hit, along with probably Hezbollah over inside of Yemen, because I believe that. My question goes to you guys. Do you guys think that Iran is going to get the poo-poo pound of it?
100%.
Somebody in the comment section in YouTube is saying, as of January 2025, Russia and Iran have a defense agreement. Does that, because I do remember something about the defense minister, foreign minister, and the defense minister Shoigu went to Iran at some point, and there was some sort, something, I thought it was a
they might have just talked about it.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know.
I don't think they have like an Article 5 type agreement in there. I think they support each other.
Even if they did, they couldn't support Assad when
yeah.
HTS rolled over Syria. They couldn't. They had to stand down, not because they wanted to. They just they are grinded down, and that's why they're doing stuff like they did last night in Kyiv and in Dnipro and in Zap and all these other cities.
It's desperate
because. Oh, and also I'm just getting reports an hour ago, or so I started reading a couple of things, a couple of places, and people are chatting, and they're saying that one of the ballistic missiles that is on video coming in, hitting in Kyiv, apparently is the first use of a North Korean ballistic missile.
Yeah, I saw that report too this morning.
Well, I got a question for you.
So I looked it up. Yeah, there was no mutual defense agreement in there. There was talks of it, but it never got signed.
Oh, okay.
So I got a question. Do you really expect something to happen within the next couple of months in like Yemen, Iraq, Iran, and all that, considering the president's going over there in May?
I think that something is going down within the next 7 to 10 days. I don't think we have the ability to wait that long. And I say that because Israel is like the trigger for me with Iran is Iran doing really anything isn't Yemen, it is Gaza. and the hostage negotiations and everything have failed over inside Gaza. Bibi's got a lot of pressure on him to do something with Hamas. And when, and that's a valid point that you're bringing up, Bibi's got a lot of pressure on him to deal with Hamas. And Bibi can't do a dang thing inside the Gaza Strip because he risks, the moment he goes on a full-blown offensive against Hamas, he risks Iran shooting another freaking wave of ballistic missiles at him. So I think prior to doing anything with them, you're going to have a massive campaign against Iran. And we certainly have the assets built for that. Guerrilla over inside of Iran or over inside of Israel today should tell you a lot. The war council convening over inside of Israel tonight should tell you a lot. Trump yesterday coming out with a statement that Israel and the United States are in full agreement on Iran should tell you a lot. Iran coming out and saying they're not going to give up their uranium enrichment should tell you a lot. Secretary of State Marco Rubio coming out yesterday stating Iran will not be allowed to enrich uranium should tell you a lot. All of these things mean that Iran isn't going to give up its uranium enrichment that we know is far beyond the capacity that it's supposed to have. The only logical conclusion is that Iran is attempting to and or has developed nuclear weapons. That's it. At that point, do you wait a day longer for Iran to fire a nuclear weapon?
Absolutely not. I mean, I think we should do this post-haste. But yep. I also have this thought in the back of my brain that maybe we're just waving a big stick and we're not going to go through with it. So that's in the back of my head, hoping that that's not the case.
I don't think we're waving the big stick. I think we are moving all of the pieces of the stick into position and wanting to make sure it's done right, because we are talking about the possibility of Iran being in possession of a nuclear weapon and us not getting it on the first wave. That's a very real danger that we got to make sure is, you know, taken care of and well protected. So we got to make sure our aerial defense assets are properly positioned. We got to make sure U.S. forces are moved to different locations and taken care of to where they're under the coverage of our aerial defense assets. And we also have to make sure that we have enough ammunition over there. So once we start, we don't stop until the job's done. We can't let off the throttle. It's got to be full freaking throttle. And so we got to make sure all of the parts and pieces are aligned to go full throttle.
More word on the 80,000 troops in Yemen going up to the port?
The last word I got is that they're still staged and still waiting on the word, and that that would be a freaking joint operation. I guess you call it a joint operation, but supported by air power from the United States military. That's the last word I got, that they're still staged and ready to go. And I think that's going to be the answer. I think we're still degrading Houthi capabilities. I think they're as degraded as they're going to get with an air campaign, to be perfectly honest with you. We can continue pressure on them. We can continue to take out key figures. A lot of the bombing campaign that the United States has done over inside of Yemen has actually been focused a lot on knocking out their key leadership. I read somewhere around 500 key leaders inside of the Houthis have been taken out in targeted airstrikes. So we're going to continue to do that. But there's only so many key leaders that you can take out, and then it's completely and totally pointless. We've already bombed a buttload of their infrastructure. How much more infrastructure do we need to bomb? I think that the people on the ground that'll be riding are going to end up drawing out a lot of the fighters. We'll end up killing a lot of them from the sky before those fighters, even like before those 80,000 even end up getting to them. I think there's going to be a lot of firepower. The three, what the hell are those called? AWACS that ended up getting moved into the AOR yesterday. Likely you're going to have one controlling a lot of the assets over inside of Yemen, and then you're going to have another one controlling a lot of the air assets with this bombing campaign that's going to take place with Iran, personally.
Let's hope. I mean, I really would love to see that area open back up to shipping, because what it'll do to Russia is just going to be astronomical.
Right. Well, And again, I think it's a multifaceted approach. Going after China, driving the cost of goods up, devaluing the yen, driving the cost of goods up, causing that instability, making it harder just in that one way against Russia, dropping the price of oil by barrel, dropping the current price of oil ends up impacting Russia's economy vastly. We saw a 15% reduction. And then now, reopening the Red Sea, you're affecting 30% of Russia's expendable budget. So you make it extremely difficult for them. Then taking out the Shahids and the nuclear capabilities of Iran directly impacts the war effort as well. All of that shit is going to piss Putin off like it's nobody's business when it starts to come through. He is going to feel it. And my main concern, truthfully, isn't the Middle East and it's not Iran. It's Russia's retaliation in response to this. And I say that just based on like knowing Putin, his personality, and what he holds true and what he holds true to belief. And I think it's kind of shit or get off the pot time for him. So we'll either see Russia do something acting out. I highly doubt, because at that point, like the war of attrition over inside of Ukraine is going to just, it's going to be ugly. Again, we still have a lot of people didn't realize it, man. When Doge, the Trump administration announced the reduction in money or monetary assets it ended up giving to Ukraine from $300 billion down to $100 billion, that leaves approximately $84 billion left that has to be spent on Ukraine. And the vast majority of it is probably going to go via the military-industrial complex. That is a lot of support, a massive amount of support, especially when you think that the largest weapons purchase from the U.S. was, you know, alleged to be, you know, presented before the United States by Zelensky of somewhere between $30 to $50 billion would have been the largest. And we're about to send $80 billion worth of equipment over there. That is a shitload, and that is that money that you know Trump's talking about. And then we had the mineral deal already signed between the United States and Ukraine. So there's no reason for us not to. Like all of the cards are in line. And I think that Putin is not going to be happy about it. And he's going to have to resort to something desperate if he wants to hold on any chance to win.
I don't think he can win, especially if he gets involved with defending Iran or moving assets or logistics over there. I mean, he can't even take out Ukraine. And their military was so much smaller. I mean, they're fighting an unbelievable battle against a military that's, I don't even know the numbers, probably 10 times larger. But I don't think that they can do anything. I think they're toothless right now.
Yeah, I mean, I would end up agreeing. So I just dropped a new poll over in the chat that if you guys are over on YouTube, the 1800 of you that are chilling out over on YouTube, if you guys don't know who he is, asking a question, if you want me to bring on Cam Higby, the guy just texted me, invited him onto the show for an interview on the USS Liberty. Cam recently had a debate with a quote unquote survivor from the USS Liberty incident from back in 67 and ended up owning the guy. Cam's done extensive research on it. And if you guys want me to get him on the show for a live, followed by questions via the Discord, I would be more than happy to do that. I think a lot of people need to hear about this because the amount of disinformation that went about the attack on the USS Liberty is pretty huge. And he is one of the best well-read people I've heard talking about it on the subject. And he's pretty damn young. So if you guys want to hear it from him, go ahead and throw that in the votes. If you don't want to hear from it, vote it down. I don't care. I like the guy. All right, let's keep going. Sorry.
I actually had a question here, and I don't want to change the subject too far from Iran and Russia and Ukraine and all that, but with us focusing on Iran and the bombing campaign going on there and Yemen and Israel and everything we're doing in Ukraine, have we been ignoring China and Taiwan at all too much? Like, are we not paying attention to that, because we've thrown a lot of tariffs on there? And if, you know, if you've got China and Russia working together in any way, Russia might pressure China to try and do something about Taiwan to take out our ability to produce semiconductors for our weapon systems.
So when we talk about China riding on Taiwan and that whole war effort over there, I got to analyze and I got to look at, you know, Xi Jinping differently than I look at Vladimir Putin, than I look at Zelensky, than I, you know, they're all their own independent people. And the one thing that Xi is all about, what we've ended up, you know, finding out about, the one thing that Xi is all about is about tradition. The man hasn't engaged in an actual war since Korea. And he is kind of looking at doing things in the shadows. He really doesn't want to come forward. He likes to go off, what is it, Sun Tzu's like freaking art of war. Right. And all of that stuff talks about dividing your enemy, which if you refer to everything that's going on right now, basically you want to win the battle before you even bother going into it. I don't think China wants to take Taiwan by the traditional sense of force. I think, you know, China wants to take Taiwan kind of like how the little green men ended up taking Crimea. And so when we end up getting engaged here in the very near future, I think that that is a very real possibility for China wanting to do that. Problem for China is, while we might have three strike carrier groups over in the Middle East, or rumored, you know, two in the Middle East and rumored one more on the way, along with all of those different assets deployed around the region, we still have like at least eight others that I can think of in operation, not to mention, you know, all the other capabilities that are going to be in, like, we have the ability to project ourselves over there. And Xi knows this, and I don't think he wants to deal with it. I also think he's got a lot more problems to start dealing with his economy, and I don't think he's going to have the ability to withstand a sustained engagement against the United States. I don't, and I don't think that's what he wants. I hope I'm right.
I don't think that that's what he wants either, but I'm just worried that he might be getting pressure from his own allies and people within... I don't know. I'm not exactly sure how the whole Chinese Communist Party regime works internally, but, you know, I worry that there might be people saying, hey, you know, the U.S. is so preoccupied with this, that, and the other thing. This is the best time we've had in two decades to deal with this.
Yeah, and that's certainly one way to look at this. That is certainly one way to look at this, right? That it might be the best time and the best opportunity that he has to move forward. I just don't think it is, because of the amount of firepower that the U.S. still has.
I got a question here for you.
Yeah.
I've been seeing more and more posts, one from the Hodge twins, where a lot of people are thinking that we're starting this war and it's going to be an Iraq thing where there's nothing actually there.
They think we're going to... Really? Well, the IAEA completely and totally disagrees with that statement.
Yeah, I mean, I completely believe that Iran has something, but I just keep seeing more and more posts popping up, like on X, of they're like, it's going to be another Iraq situation.
Yeah, well, let's put it this way. Hodge twins, do they study war? Do they study the psychology of freaking the Ayatollah, or, you know, Xi, or freaking Putin? As we just talked about,
I don't know. I just know them as comedians.
Right, exactly. They're comedians.
I thought one of them was in the military. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, even then, that's not a precursor for they know what the hell they're talking about. You know, you really have to look at all of these things. And when we look at the common thread that goes between what I'm just going to start calling the Axis of Evil, because I feel that's fair, Russia, Iran, and China, when we start looking at the common thread between those three countries, it's all goes back to their ideology of believing in their ancestral territory and right to it. Iran thinks that it should rule the Middle East. It thinks that Israel shouldn't exist, right? Russia thinks that like Putin specifically wants to reestablish like the old Soviet states. He wants to take back over Ukraine. He wants to start inching towards that. Xi definitely believes that Taiwan belongs to him. And so they all have the same common ideology. I do believe that Xi wants it. I do believe that he would move on it if given the opportunity, but the opportunity has got to fit within comfort of his own way. He doesn't like to do things outside of his like comfort zone. Who's going to back up China right now? Let's say we end up bombing the crap out of Iran and Russia is weakened to that extent. Who would back up China? Like they would have a lot of serious issues if they tried to implement that plan. And I don't see it going good for them. And I don't think Xi wants a force-on-force conflict, particularly with the United States of America. That's my thought. So just be careful who you get your information from. There's going to be a lot of disinformation floating around. And I just don't see it. I hope I'm right. Everybody went quiet on me, and that's okay. Texas, closing thoughts?
Closing thoughts? Not much. I think that there's a lot of FAFO moments happening. There's a lot cooking in multiple different regions in the world. We just need to be, like, nobody knows nobody's plans. We can all sit here and speculate. But what we do know is based on physical action, and physical action showing that the U.S. is moving insane amount of firepower towards the Middle East, mm-hmm. and European militaries and NATO navies are moving a lot of firepower towards the areas, Middle East, outside Black Sea area, and in the Baltics. You see a lot of that movement happening. Mm-hmm. I just watched this morning, I think it's a video from a couple of weeks ago, but a French frigate is taking out Houthi drones in the region over there. So like you have a lot cooking. I think that Putin is getting desperate. I think that Trump is also kind of getting desperate, that he just wants to, you know, be the man that did it and like prove to the world that he was able to do it. But yep. at the same time, he's starting to realize that it's not so simple. It's a strange thing to say. I'm looking forward, but I'm trying to see already Saturday who will all be at the funeral and what all of kind of meetings will come out of that, because apparently Zelensky's going to be there and Trump is going to be there, mm-hmm. and all like Macron and everybody that's been, and the Canadian guys and everybody that Greenland, Denmark, everybody that have been, I wouldn't say butting heads, but everybody that's been like, you know, bumping shoulders for the last 3 months are going to be in one place now. So I'm just curious to see, but other than that, that's just that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what ends up coming out of that. You're right. I couldn't see that many world leaders gathering around and not using it as an opportunity to screw up the rest of the world.
Yeah.
So you were asking about who would be China's ally. I've really been focused on them as a potential threat because of their ability to plan 50 to 100 years ahead versus most other elected countries can't. But they've got their Belt and Road Initiative. They've got Djibouti in Africa. They've got a few South American countries slowly coming on board. And they've got a few Indo-Pacific island nations on board, like Sri Lanka. I mean, China's expanding quickly. Quicker than Japan did before World War II. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, if we're preoccupied, we could be sitting here screaming at Iran, but China's actually helping Iran back these people to just distract us to open up, because they, 2034 is they plan to have Taiwan back before then.
Correct.
Like, and they have a deadline set. Plan.
They do, but they're also long term. Like they are trying to do things peacefully. And like I said, I think they want to take it just like the little green men took over Crimea. They do not want to it by force in that manner.
They just put their aircraft carrier last weekend, less than 23 miles off the coast of Taiwan. Their home built one, not the Russian clone they bought. So, I mean, China's upping their threats, quote unquote, but they also outnumber the U.S. Navy 2-1, more than 2-1.
Yes, but that's in numbers, not tonnage.
In number of canoes, not in tonnage.
I'm just talking war numbers, though. It doesn't take a battleship to launch a cruise missile like it did taking a battleship to have giant guns back in the day. So tonnage isn't as important anymore. But you also have to think China's infrastructure. What? They could crank out 7 boats a month where the U.S. wouldn't be cranking out 1 a month. So as we lose ships, they're able to refill versus we.
Yes, don't but have 7 cheap copies don't matter.
But I'm we don't
sure
have the
what
ability
analysis
to refill.
You're doing. I'm really not sure where you're taking this analysis.
Sandbox News did a whole video on it, but basically their ability to refill ships is greater than what the U.S. had in World War II, and our ability to refill ships is the worst it's been since before we had the standing Navy concept. The U.S. couldn't refill ships as we lose them versus China could just keep throwing cheap gunboats at us until we run out of ships.
Yes, but that requires China to have a population that in 10 years won't be 60, you know, what is it, 60 plus is going to be 7% of the population in 10 years from now?
I mean, you also, I mean, you're saying 10 years from now, they took the one-child policy away a few years ago, and their population...
It doesn't matter. The actual numbers are way smaller.
Right, but if you look at their birth rates, and if you're talking...
It doesn't matter.
Now, 10 years from now, they'll have more 15-year-olds than almost any country on Earth.
Right, but you need 18 years to get a fully grown adult, then you got to train them, and then put them on a ship.
It's the age you have to join the military. China's always
16 even. Still, you're talking 16 years before they have a 24.
I'm going to interject here. I don't think that China's had any issue with using children to do work for them.
No.
That's what I'm saying. Their indoctrination and pre-military program starts at 12 years old. Like, 12-year-olds.
You're going to have a bunch of 12-year-olds run a destroyer?
Or you're going to have 12-year-olds that you can train up, send to other countries to join their militaries, and sabotage.
All right, well, I'm just going to close that myself here because I got to go do other things. I'm not sure this
same
argument is very productive.
Same.
Just ask FYI, about the threat of
China. Just interesting,
and the real
yeah.
Just interesting fact that just interesting fact before I end up jumping out of here, and it's not even a fact, it's just something that I did while everybody was having that discussion. I just asked ChatGPT with very specific instructions to provide a percentage possibility or percentage probability that the U.S. would end up bombing Iran within the next 30 days based on the latest news that Marco Rubio said that they're not allowed to have an enrichment production facility, the amount of U.S. equipment that has been moved into the Middle East, and Iran coming out and stating that they will continue to enrich uranium, and include in your assessment the latest IAEA reports with the probability that Iran has a nuclear weapon based on those reports. It came out with about a 60% probability. Throwing that out there.
Holy cow.
That's with the parameters that it has the information of. I think if you add specific things like physically, not just letting them know based of news, like if you add in the information of like potential third carrier strike group moving to that AO and this is happening, like you add more parameters, I think the percentage is higher. But if ChatGPT gives you a percentage, anything higher than 50%, you know that there's something cooking.
60%.
Because
they put it 55 to 65%. So I just said 60.
Yeah. Yeah.
You left out the most important parameter. You forgot to include that Hillary Clinton's still alive.
Oh right. Yep. 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 She's over in China pulling strings.
Somebody
that's
is
not
pulling
true.
Something
that's
over there.
Not true. YouTube, don't freaking demonetize me. Okay, guys. Hey, I appreciate you guys. I came up over on the panel today. Good discussion. Really, really, really appreciate you guys.
Matt, offline, I need you to send me some details so I can send you something I have for you, you know.
Yes.
I know you've been busy, so just,
I'll give you a call immediately this, okay? I got to give you an update.
All right, son. Okay. All right, cheers.
Cheers. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me for another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. I'll see you tonight, later on this evening, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, looking at dropping a video with all of the latest and greatest updates that we have coming out as the situation continues to develop today. I have a feeling more information is going to come out. Thank you guys for joining me. Appreciate every single person that donated. Please consider subscribing to the channel or becoming a true supporter because we would love to have you. We've got an amazing community over here and definitely have changed lives for the better in the past. And I can give specific examples, but I don't even think I need to.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
When you need to do more with less, Upwork helps you hire fast without the overhead. Find expert freelancers in design, marketing, IT, AI, and more. Never tried Upwork? Now's the perfect time. Spend your first $1,000 and get $200 in credit for your next project. No upfront costs. No long-term commitments. Just $200 to reinvest in what matters. Go to Upwork.com/save to get started. That's UPWORK.com/SAVE. Upwork.com/save.